Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
Wanna play?
Whoa, I'm not on. Now I'm on.
You weren't on.
No, I was off.
You can't win if you don't play.
When I play what?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
Well, if we don't know what we're going to play, how do we know what we're going to play?
You'll find out.
Uh-oh, it's going to be one of those days, folks.
Yes.
Okay.
Ah, you have a laugh.
Yeah. Whoa. National holidays from holidayinsights.com for the week of January 29th. January 29th is National Puzzle Day.
That's confusing.
January 31st, National Popcorn Day.
I love to make popcorn when I'm going to play like Scrabble or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can use them instead of the little markers if you play in checkers and you eat a marker. You can have popcorn.
Never works.
Oh, okay.
I always eat my markers before.
I know. It's bad.
I would never be good in Hansel and Gretel.
You'd eat the whole house before the witch ever came out?
And then the trail going back forth. I'd be stuck in the middle of the woods going, duh. February is National Blah Buster Month. Blah.
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 Blah Buster.
I'm going to blah.
Yeah, when you bust your blahs. Anyway, birthdays this week.
We're just
from holidayinsights.com, January 30th, 1937. Boris Spassky, world's chess champion, was born. January 31st, 1919. Jackie Robinson. He was the first African American to play Major League Baseball. And January 31st, 1947, is the birthday of Nolan Ryan. Do you know who that is?
I do. 7 no hitters, the last one being in Texas.
There we go. Played baseball.
I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't love the guy. I liked him a lot. But anyways, this day in history from holidayinsights.com. On January 29th, baseball's American League is founded in the year 1900.
And life was never the same after that.
Yeah, beer sales were up.
Yeah. So what's the theme for today, Joe?
Baseball.
No.
American Pie.
No.
Mom?
No. Not Chevrolet either.
No.
A little broader. Think of a little broader. Not a little broad, a little broader.
Folks, she saw my face, which knew where I was heading. This is bad. I don't know. What
puzzles, baseball, chess.
What do
you want to play?
What game are we trying to play today?
There you go, games.
Games.
Good job.
See,
yes,
there you go.
Yes. Our curious word or saying for the day is ace in the hole. Do you know where that comes from?
I do not.
Well, from phrases.org.uk. When you say ace in the hole, it means that something that can supply a sure victory when it's revealed.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This originates from the game of poker, where a card dealt face down is kept hidden and is called a hole card. The most propitious card being the propitious.
Propitious.
The
best. It's just the best card.
Propitious. Propitious.
Yeah, sort of.
That one doesn't sound out right.
It's the best card.
It's the best card.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the what? What's the best card when you play poker?
The one that causes me to win.
The ace.
The one that I win with.
Yes.
That's the best card.
That's the best card.
Top 5 list.
Yes, from top5.com.
The top 15 worst board games ever.
Mm-hmm. I think I had some of these when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think so.
What are they?
Number 15. Motley Clue.
Uh-huh. Number 14, Klingon Scrabble.
You will die. Number 13, Candy from a Stranger Land. No, you didn't have me read that.
Number 12, closely related to that one, is Broccoli Land.
Oh, high seller. Number 11, it's Chubby Checkers.
Hey. Number 10 is Ed Asner's Harry Backgammon. Ew.
Number 9 is Scabble.
Number 8, Connect 4000. Yow.
Number 7, Monotony.
No. Try again.
Monotony.
Monotony.
That's it. I'm going Japanese. Monotony.
Okay. Yeah. More no Tony.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Number 6. 6 is the game of life support.
Doctors love that one.
Yeah.
Number 5, unacceptable risk.
Number 4 is win, lose, or drawn and quartered.
Ouch. Ooh. Speaking of the Old West, number three.
I told you, read the scripts before we go on the air, JoJo.
It would be not that much fun. Number three, sex change operation.
Number two is Trivial Pursuit Yanni Edition. He has hair.
That'll be a short game. Yeah. And the number one worst board game ever.
The game of 25 to Life. Weren't those great? That's one of my favorite lists ever.
That was a sex change operation. Ah, that's a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb criminals.
Yes, they are.
From dumbcriminals.com.
Mm-hmm.
American Vidiot.
Oh.
Not idiot, Vidiot.
Okay.
Who says that video games diminish human intelligence, lessen our capability or capacity to think clearly, and destroy the synapses in our mind, turning us into nothing but mindless, drooling zombies? The people wrote this story.
Yes, indeed. According to the report, a man called police to brag about a video game win, but he called the wrong number and ended up being nabbed by the cops.
Sounds strange. Wait until it starts to make sense.
The guy calls his buddy to brag about his video game score. So he picks up the phone and immediately says into the phone, "I've killed them all!" The problem is he called the wrong number. He can get a bajillion points in Rainbow Six, but he can't push seven buttons in the correct order. If only you could play Xbox on your cell phone.
The woman he called had caller ID, so she called the police. And the cops went to his house. They checked it out and realized their mistake. But they also found out that he had a warrant for cocaine possession.
Oh, no.
They all shared a good laugh, yuck, and then took him to jail.
How big of a laugh do you think they shared?
I can hear him now.
I've killed them all.
Story time.
Yay, story time.
From Cracked.com.
I love story time.
Five classic board games with disturbing origin stories.
Oh.
If there's one thing we've learned in our time here, it's that there's absolutely no cherished childhood memory from nursery rhymes to candy bars that doesn't have some dark and gritty origin story. For surely our favorite board game sprang fully formed from the land of bunnies and rainbows, right?
Sure.
After all, they're just a bunch of colorful squares on a board meant to let families kill time in a pre-video game era, right?
Well, sounds reasonable, except... First, we have The Game of Life and Suicide.
Uh-oh.
Released way back in 1860. I didn't know it was that old, did you?
No.
Oh. The Game of Life is one of the best-selling board games of all time and the single oldest game in the Milton Bradley Library. It's a charming get-together game in which families around the world experience all the fun of paying their insurance and ultimately witnessing the miracle of humanity reduced to a dong-shaped plastic peg. I have no idea what that meant.
Neither do I.
Hey, you know what? I played Life, the Game of Life.
Yes.
And I ended up with 14 kids.
Ooh, bonus.
I was playing the Catholic Virgin. Okay.
Oh,
there are people in the studio thinking maybe I should be replaced at this point.
Help me, Lord, help me. This is bad. The disturbing origins of the Game of Life and Suicide. The original version of Life was somewhat more pessimistic than the one we played today. Some of the board's original squares include disgrace, poverty, and ruin,
ooh,
as well as crime, passion, and, this is not a joke, suicide.
So who was the psychopath behind that grim game? Milton Bradley himself, who was going through a bit of a rough time when he made it. Bradley was a professional lithographer at the time and was driven to financial ruin solely because Abraham Lincoln grew a beard. No, we're not making it up. Mr. Bradley was making a pretty sweet dime in 1860 selling lithographs of a then beardless Abraham Lincoln until a little 11-year-old girl named Grace Bedell sent Honest Abe a letter asking him to grow a beard, which he did. I've never heard this in history before.
No.
This unprecedented presidential fashion statement basically destroyed Bradley's business after all his unsold portraits of clean-shaven Abe were judged so yesterday.
Whoa.
At the end of his rope and out of alcohol, Mr. Bradley sat down and sketched the checkered game of life. We imagine with a loaded gun on the table. That's so sad.
Darn that little 11-year-old girl.
Darn her.
How dare her.
Oh, what's next, Joe?
Clue. Killing time between Nazi bombs.
Ooh.
This brings us to Clue. It's a dark subject for a game if you think about it. Some of the murder weapons would only work by splashing the brains of the victim all over the floor of their fancy mansion.
Ew.
So under what circumstances would someone think that this was an appropriate game for kids?
Well, the disturbing origins. The game was released in England in 1949 under the almost intentionally dumb name Cluedo. And while most board games enjoy the reputation as something you save for a rainy day, the rainy days that brought you Clue were the rains of Nazi bombs on British households. Clue, or Cluedo, was devised in 1943 by a wartime fire warden named Anthony E. Pratt, who came up with the game while walking his beat in between the Nazi firebombings. I should not be laughing right now.
No.
Withholding any pretense, the game's working title was Murder! With an exclamation point.
Ta-da!
Basically, it was Saw 2 in a box. We should probably mention that this game not only included the classic gun, rope, knife, and three makeshift debrainers, but also an axe, syringe, poison, a bomb, and a shillelagh. Those darn Irish people.
I'm telling you.
Those Irish bombers. Yeah.
Nothing like a little shillelagh.
Oh, my.
But we have to give it credit. I mean, Cluedo.
Cluedo.
My name is Inspector.
Yes.
And now for Trivial Pursuit.
Mm.
The pursuit of plagiarism. It's that infuriating family of trivia game that you annoyingly know-it-all uncle always wins.
Always.
Always.
The disturbing origins. Long before Trivial Pursuit famously became the bane of George Costanza on Seinfeld, its distributors found themselves in the middle of a lawsuit. It turned out as many as one-third of the questions in the game were lifted from the book Super Trivia, Volume 2, by Fred L. Wirth. How do we know this? Because clever Mr. Wirth deliberately slept an error into the book to catch any would-be plagiarists. Sure enough, when Trivial Pursuit hit the stores, that one bad answer turned up on the cards. It was Detective Columbo's first name as Frank, not Philip.
Mm.
This seemed like a key point to Wirth since, you know, trivia was the entire point of the game, so he sued.
Unfortunately for Wirth, Trivial Pursuit foiled his clever plan, the game's creators. Scott Abbott and Chris Haney successfully convinced every lower court that being both lazy and stupid was not a crime now that they were rich. Wirth took his case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, figuring that writing a third of the material for them entitled him to a cut of the game's gargantuan profits. But their creator's argument, which a court agreed with, was that you can't copyright facts. It's the same reason you can't copyright a phone book.
Who would want to?
Don't go there. Yeah. Those numbers belong to everybody, even if somebody else has spent hundreds of hours assembling and researching them.
Still, it'd have been nice if they had at least thanked him.
Nah.
We have another top five list.
Uh-oh, with 5,427 answers.
Or 15.
Top five from top5.com. The top 15 new endings to the phrase, it's all fun and games until... Number 15. Until a failed steroid test torpedoes your shot at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's all fun and games until someone loses an iPod. That's bad. Yeah.
A stretch, but funny.
Yeah.
Number 13. It's all fun and games until the Fun Liberation Faction has an armed uprising and holds 60 members of the Citizen for Promotion of Games hostage.
I don't get that one either.
No.
Let's move on. It's all fun and games until the video is leaked onto the internet.
Yeah.
Maybe for that sex change operation.
Hello. Number 11. It's all fun and games until the wife decides to come home for lunch. Ooh.
It's all fun and games until they whip out Parcheesi because, man, that game isn't funny at all. Never played it, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it? Fun.
It's another chase a character around the board game.
Oh, boy.
It's all fun and games number 9 until you realize that your sister on the center pole.
It's all fun.
Bad.
I'm just moving right on. It's all fun and games until grandma wants her teeth back. Oh, that's so wrong.
That falls under the category ew.
Ew.
Number 7. it's all fun and games until someone decides to put on Celine Dion CD.
Yeah, for like, I think it was our second wedding anniversary, my ex got me a Celine Dion CD. Thought that was a good gift. Yeah.
That nothing speaks of love except for that Celine Dion.
Celine Dion, yeah. Oh, God. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye at an eyeglass manufacturing convention, because with all those choices, making up your mind is hard. That is so wrong. Oh, my gosh, that's so wrong. Yeah, Dave's smiling. He's got a wistful smile over there.
Could you imagine somebody with a glass eye losing their eye in an eyeball manufacturing plant and they're running around trying to find it?
I'm trying not to imagine that. But yeah.
I'll take green, no pink, no red, no blue. It's all funny games.
Oh, you just got the eye of death from the other cat, from Cat with a C. It was a glaring look.
I'm sorry, folks. It was just something. It's all funny games, number five, until someone pees on a box.
Read the script before we go on the air, Joe.
Until someone pees on the bug zapper.
It's all fun and games until you discover that that thing at the bottom of the ocean actually is a drain stopper. Okay, take a moment and read this one before you say it. 2, 3, 1.
It's all fun and games number three until you find out that the piper doesn't take Visa.
It's all fun and games until you actually become governor of California.
I'll be back. And the number one new ending to the phrase, it's all fun and games until...
until one of the kids at the party asks you to put the two halves of his mom back together. We're just annoying Cat with a C. She's just shaking
darn
her head
magician
over there.
Jokes.
Oh, my goodness.
At least she only sawed it in half. She didn't make her disappear.
That's true.
But then again, maybe they want her to disappear.
Yeah. I don't know.
Things that make you go,
What else do we have, dear?
Just jokes.
Just jokes.
From iSearchJokes.com.
Yeah.
Computer games don't affect kids. If Pac-Man would have affected us as children, we would now run around in dark rooms munching pills and listening to repetitive music.
Oops. Hello?
Dark rooms? Check. Munching pills? Check.
Yeah.
Listening to repetitive music? Check.
Check. Okay.
Oh.
Question, Joe.
Yes.
What's the fastest way to break up a bingo game in Baghdad?
You shout out. B-52!
Oh, and Kat just slumped in her chair. Okay, maybe she'll like this one. One day, the devil challenged the Lord to a baseball game. Smiling, the Lord proclaimed, "You don't have a chance. I have Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and all the greatest players up here."
Yes, snickered the devil, but I have all the umpires. We're not trying to say that all the umpires out there lie, cheat, steal, or otherwise. However, comma, if the shoe fits.
Yeah. Give it to someone else.
Send all emails to Dave.
The lie of the day. We haven't done a lie of the day for a couple weeks now.
Those weren't lies? We just... Oh.
No.
Okay.
This is Lie of the Day from HotLife.com, Dave's Web of Lies, where you can get the lie of the day in your email box if you'd like. The first lie, purportedly... Lie. Microsoft was founded because Bill Gates couldn't beat his best friend at Pac-Man, and he wanted to make games that he would be able to win.
That is a lie. Prior to the invention of sound recording, everyone communicated using elaborate games of charades.
That's a lie.
Explain somebody's intelligence level.
Armadillos.
Ah, yes.
Used in games of dodgeball. Must now be paid minimum wage, except in New Jersey, where dodgeball is illegal.
That explains why I couldn't get an armadillo in New Jersey.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. Mm. And, of course, that's a lie. Nuns are excluded in participating in the Olympics games.
That's a lie, but that could be really funny.
I don't know that we really want to go there.
Oh, my. Oh, another top five list.
4.
11.
10.
9.
Bingo.
11. Don't confuse the games here.
from top5.com, the top 11 most realistic video games for teenagers.
Oh, you know, my son, if I had a dime for every moment my son spent playing video games, he could actually go to college now.
If I had a dime for every day I played video games, I'd be sitting in a mansion with my Porsche out in the driveway.
I always thought they should be more realistic.
It is.
So what do we got here?
Number 11, you'll never go anywhere in life. Maze challenge.
Realistic video games for teenagers. Early returning parents kegger cleanup countdown. I think he's played that anyway.
I like that one. Number 9, prom date simulator.
Number 8, Super Mario's SAT meltdown.
90% of the kids out there. Number 7, take your cousin to prom nightmare.
My personal favorite, number 6, whack a goth.
This is not a disrespect for all goth members in our audience.
Sure.
Just whack one. Number 5, zit assault.
Ew. Oh, I could have done this one.
There you go.
Number 4, past curfew stealth ninja.
Ooh.
Did I ever tell you about the time I called the police?
No.
He wouldn't believe that I was really enforcing curfew. I'm really enforcing curfew. I'm texting him. You need to be home. You need to be home. Yeah, 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 Mom. You need to be home now. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom. You need to be home now. Yeah, Mom. I just called the police. Wow. And he was home within 5 minutes.
Amazing how that works.
It does work. Only once, though.
So that must be closer related to number 3.
Yes.
Grand Theft Kia.
Ew.
First, if you're going to steal a Kia, let me talk to you, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Number 2 most realistic video game, Mortal Kombat 15, Idiot Jocks versus the Chess Club.
And the number 1 most realistic video game for teenagers is...
Dark Realms of Orthodontia. Oh, my. So what was your favorite game as a kid?
Risk.
Risk. I never played Risk.
Risk is the world conquest game where you'd get start with countries and then you'd have to develop characters and try to take over the world.
Oh, okay. So your supremacy complex started way back when you were a kid.
No, I always won, so I didn't worry.
Oh, okay. You know what I hated?
I just can't turn it into real life.
Well, yeah.
I can't conquer the world yet.
Amazing.
What did you always
with
hate?
With jokes like this, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I hated Sorry with that pop-o-matic thing.
Pop-o-matic.
I hated it. Because you needed a six. I need a six. I need a six. I need a six. Pop, pop.
4.
Yeah.
Pop 3.
Ugh.
Pop 2.
That and Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd work really hard to get up all those ladders, and then you'd just, you know, pick the wrong number and whoo!
But wasn't Chutes and Ladder a ripoff of Candyland? Candyland, the Candyland knows. Because they both had the same thing.
Cat, Joe's making up songs. Can you turn off his microphone?
To make the world go round, make the world go round. The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world go round.
Tastes good, not go around.
I'm making it up as I go, all right?
Yes, you do. You know what game I really did like a lot?
Which one?
Any game that had to do with words.
Because
I was a wordy.
I wasn't.
Oh,
I was young
Scrabble,
and immature. And
Scrabble. And Yahtzee.
Loved Yahtzee.
We played so much Yahtzee when I was a kid.
Yep.
I used to sleepwalk. And I was sleepwalking one night and talking, of course, because I always talk. And purportedly, I said... A sleep or a Yahtzee? A sleep or a Yahtzee?
The drugs weren't good for her.
They didn't work quite as well as they do now.
Do you know what one of our favorite games was?
What?
We used to have neighborhood, and I mean neighborhood, hide-and-seek games.
Ooh.
Where we'd have 30 or 40 kids. You know, we'd have the big oak tree up front, you know, and our house was center to the neighborhood, so we always became the center. You know, when you had to count and go find 30 to 40 kids, it became a blast.
And little Bobby still's out there somewhere behind a tree.
That and my sister in the bushes with somebody else, but we won't talk about that.
Oh, no. Yeah. We used to play flashlight tag in our neighborhood like that. Yeah.
The other thing that was really cool is growing up, and I grew up in Warren, Ohio, out to the east of here.
Excuse me. You got older.
I grew up.
No, you got older, Joe.
Well, I'm still growing, so yeah, I haven't grown up yet. Thank you. We used to have water balloon fights that include the whole neighborhood.
Mm.
And I can remember, like, you had to, if you went in between houses, you'd have to look up because somebody was up on the roof getting ready to drop a water balloon on you. The adults would always hide up on the roofs. I mean, because you could get out on your roof, you know, because we had the extension to the porches and stuff like that. Very dangerous
time.
You
sure that wasn't just an excuse for a wet t-shirt contest?
Back in those days, there was no girls that were...
Okay. Moving on. We have some ruminations.
Ruminating.
From ruminate.com.
So, I was a cameraman in Dallas for 3 years before I realized that they have a football game in the background of all those cheerleading performances.
There was a segue.
There's from Michael Cunningham. There you go.
Yes. And from the covert comic, they say God always bats last. Hey, if I never had to play a road game, I bet I'd have a pretty good record, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
From Michael Cunningham, if I were in charge of the National Hockey League and we were starting to have labor problems, I would just invite the players over for a big dinner of corn on the cob and taffy apples.
That's so wrong. And finally, they say life's what you make it. And I imagined it'd be a lot more fun if you worked at a Play-Doh factory. Thank you, Mark Sabian. Well,
what was the best thing you did with Play-Doh? Easy.
I did eat Play-Doh one time, actually. It is non-toxic. I had one of those little Play-Doh factory things where you put the Play-Doh in the top and there's a little template you put on the front and you squish it down and it comes out like spaghetti. And I used to make food. I seriously would make things that look like food, spaghetti and meatballs.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, cakes. And
I loved when you could take it and put it over the comics and then pull up the comics and then stretch them.
That was silly putty, honey.
Like I said, what did you do with silly putty? What was the best thing?
Oh, my. Oh, goodness. You know, my grandmother, when I was a little girl, I made my grandma a little rose out of Play-Doh.
Aww.
And she lived to be almost 100. And when we were cleaning out her house after she passed away at almost 100, there was the Play-Doh rose in her buffet right next to all the expensive china.
That is sweet. I like that.
Isn't that sweet?
Hold on. I'm wiping a tear from my eye.
Okay. So we have a
short... Big girl, don't cry. Anyways.
And neither does Joe. We have a short Irish blessing for today.
Just a short Irish blessing?
Yes, from Ireland. IslandIreland.com.
Just a wee bit of Irish there, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The true object of all human life is play.
Aww. Well, we hope you all have a wonderful week playing.
And enjoying.
And that's all we have for today. And I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we are
Kat Soup,
the best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks.